Amen. There we go. Is it on?
Yep.
Okay, praise the Lord. We got a little bit further in the book of Revelation and didn't really get out of chapter 1. And hopefully we'll get just a little bit further in this book of Revelation study. And just so many good things that we found out of it. We just want to continue on from where we read the last time. So if you have your Bible, we'll look at Revelation chapter 1. And brother, you have the PowerPoint. You don't have to put that up yet. You could just keep it there just for a moment until we get to that part. Revelation 1, we'll just pick it up here. We've already read quite a bit of this. We will start at verse 6. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle of that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle." You can have your seats this morning. We just want to go with this verse by verse. I felt that was best. We spoke and ended last time just as a general overview, and that's really all we was able to get to. So now we just want to go into this, and Lord willing, we'll go into the Ephesian church age if that's what the Lord wants for the next service, the next Sunday school. And I don't know why there was a little bit of confusion if we're having Sunday school today, so I'm not sure really where that came from. I know there was a service that we missed, but we are planning on being here every Sunday at this time to just carry this teaching on. So anyway, Revelation chapter 1, I want to just look there at verse 10. Look in your Bible. It says, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." So John was in the Spirit for 2 years receiving this instruction from the Lord. And Brother Branham says what happened was John was actually called up and he was transported into the Lord's day. And don't get confused by this word, the Lord's day, because as the prophet points out, many people think it's speaking of the Sabbath or Sunday, which for some was Sunday and some was Saturday. And you get sabbatical Christians and they believe in the Sabbath, and this is what the Lord was speaking of. But it's not at all. The prophet said that's not at all what the Bible was talking about when it says John was transported to the Lord's day, which was to come. So the Bible speaks about the day of the Lord, which is to be in the future. You can read this a lot studying in the Old Testament. Speaks of the day of the Lord, which we know is the great tribulation. It's the ending of all things. It's the future day. It's not Saturday. It's not Sunday. It's not a Sabbath that he was called into. But this was the Lord's day. This is not the day you're living in now. We're not living in the Lord's day right now. Thankfully, we're not, or we'd be doomed. We would still be here. This is what the prophet calls man's day. This is man's day. The cosmos. It's the day where man's work, man's church, man's idea of worship, man's world. This is all about the day of man. But the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming. There will be a day, the Bible says, that is the day of the Lord and not the day of man. But John was taken up and transported to this great day, this day when man's days are over and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. And the Bible says that the day of the Lord will come in judgment. And then after that comes the millennium. We know that this is the second part to the prophecy of Isaiah when Jesus says, he handed the Bible, the scroll to the priest and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And he only quoted half of the verse of Isaiah. And half of the verse says it was to proclaim liberty and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and to bind up the broken. This was the first part of the ministry of Jesus. But then if you read the rest of the verse, it says, and also to thoroughly purge his threshing floor and to come in judgment. And the prophet points out he was only coming as the first part when he came and was made an atonement for us on Calvary. That was the first part of the ministry of Jesus. But he's also returning back in judgment, and he's going to judge the world. And we learned that last time that we don't want to be judged then. We want to be judged now. But he is coming in judgment. There's no question. That has not happened. Clearly, that has not happened. Clearly, you can look around and see this is still man's day. The cup is of the Amorites is not yet full. It's still being filled. But one day it's going to spill over, and then there's nothing left but judgment. So right now, what day are we living in? The day of man, which is the day where we can receive a warning, and the day where we can receive mercy, and the day where we can receive grace. Right now, today is the day of salvation, Jesus says. Today is the day of salvation. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful this isn't. But there is coming the day of the Lord, which is the day of judgment. And this is actually what John was called into. John was transported. He was raptured. He was transported to this future day. John sort of, like when you get in a plane and you go up above the clouds and you just see everything in a big view. You see where you've came from. You see where you're at, and you see where you're going. And this is what John was experiencing here when he says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was called up to that great and notable day. And John is going to see the first. And he says here, and I heard a voice behind, read verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he sees this great day, this great and wonderful day of the Lord and all of his power. And he sees all of the future. John is going to see all of the past. He's going to see all of the future. And he's going to see everything come and unfold as the plan of God. And then John didn't say here in verse 10 that it was a trumpet that he heard, but he said that it was like a trumpet. He said, the voice that I heard was as of a trumpet. So a trumpet is blown. We know what a trumpet is by just looking at Israel. They were always called together. Israel is always called together under a trumpet, and it could be a sense of urgency. This trumpet that was blown was a sense of urgency. It was a herald of the king. It was a messenger coming from the king. So John is saying the voice was an urgent voice. There was an urgency to it when he heard this voice. And he says, Brother Branham says, oh, that we might hear the voice of God as a trumpet this day. For it is the gospel trumpet sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware to prepare for what's coming upon the earth. John is also commanded here in verse 11. Look at your Bible, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Here it is, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the one true God. The voice and the word of God, reality and truth is at hand. What a thing it is to be in the Spirit. You have to be in the Spirit to catch this, though. Amen. And to be in the presence of God and hear from him. So this voice that is speaking as of a trumpet, We see this voice spoken various times throughout the Bible. It would speak in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. It spoke in the cool of the day. The voice of God spoke. It spoke again on Mount Sinai to Moses, giving him the law. It speaks again on Mount Transfiguration. And now it's speaking again to John. Now it's sounding forth that voice like a trumpet. And it's giving John a command. Write, John, pick up a pen and write the things which you see. John recognized that voice. Amen. Yeah. And the prophet says, and you will recognize that voice when he calls you. If you're one of his own. Are you glad to be one of his own? He says in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. John does not say that he turned to see the one whose voice he heard. Read it again, verse 12, catch this. And I turned to see the voice, to see the voice, not turn to see, I turned to see who it was that was speaking. But the Bible says he turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. So he didn't turn. He turned to see the voice, not the one who spoke, but he turned to see the voice because the voice and the person are one and the same. Amen. You understand that? The voice and the person are one and the same. That's why Brother Branham says, what is it? Jesus is the Word. Amen. Say, what is the voice of God? It's the Word of God. Who is Jesus? The Word of God. It's the self same thing. We could do a study on the Godhead, and that would be real important for you to understand even this book of Revelation, why it says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So it's not speaking here of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus the Word. Jesus of Nazareth was the expression of the Logos. We don't have time to get into that, and you'd just get more confused because I wouldn't have the time to explain it. But us brothers in the last Sunday Bible study, we got into that in real good detail, and it was real good. But the voice and the person are one and the same. Jesus is the Word. And so he says here that he heard when he turned to look, verse 12, look in your Bible, I turned and saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Verse 20 gives you the answer of what the seven candlesticks that John seen were. Look at verse 20. This and here it says in verse 20, Brother George, if you'll put it up for those who don't have it. And just look at the very end of the verse. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And this is going to be more and more important as you read the book of Revelation to understand this. He says, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, not candles. It doesn't say that they were, that John seen seven candles, but it's unique that it's a candle stand, because a candle, you light it and it burns and it burns and it burns and then it goes out. But a lampstand, a candle upon a lampstand has a unique lasting effect that as long as there's oil, it'll just keep burning and it won't go out. So it's not candles, but these are going to speak of churches. These are going to speak of the seven churches. This is going to speak of the ages. It's not just speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor, but it's a book. It's a prophecy. That's what Jesus is getting at. It's a prophecy. This is going to be something that plays out in a drama. It's unfolded. John, you got the aerial view. You're seeing the past, the present, and the future. So the candlesticks, the prophet says, let's examine this lampstand. If you have that picture, you can put it up. Let's examine this lampstand. And you'll notice that it has a large bowl at the bottom of the candlestick, which is central. It's not to the left. It's not to the right. But it's central to the seven other branches that come off of it. Because the center of the life of the churches would be the Spirit of God. Because what was in the central basin, the bowl, oil. Right? And as long as there was oil, the seven lamps burned. So it's central. You'll notice this large bowl, a reservoir at the bottom, which is central to the seven arms that come out. Remember that the scripture says the seven lamps, the seven branch lamps, and the menorah that you see here, which we see even this was a symbol that was taken when Moses builds the tabernacle, and he's building from a pattern, an image that he's seen in heaven. He also puts a piece of furniture in the holy place called the lampstand, the seven golden lampstands, the menorah. And the job of that priest was to keep the oil and the wicks trimmed and the oil burning continually, day and night, day and night. So as long as the priest kept the oil going, the lamp continued to burn. So this bowl is filled with olive oil, which flows through all of the oil at the bottom, flows through each one of the seven branches, which are placed in the seven arms. It's the same oil that burns and makes light at the end. So it's not a different fire. It's not a different oil. It's the same oil. The oil that came at Ephesus is not different than the oil that comes in this day. It's the same oil. The oil that came in Martin Luther's day is not a different oil. It's from the same source. Are you following me today? So the lamp, the lights never went out. The priest just kept pouring oil into the bowl. The lamp was lit also in a very special way. This is all so important when you look at Revelation. The lamp was lit by the priest in a very special way, and you have to find that in the Old Testament under Moses when he lit the seven golden lampstand. The Bible says that the priest, what's the first thing if you think of the tabernacle, and you have the outer court, you have the inner court, and you have the holiest of holies. Y'all got the picture in your mind. At the very first thing that the priest would come to in the outer court was the golden altar, was the brazen altar. And he would put the coals of God, which burnt the sacrifice, in that golden altar. And the Bible says fire, not lit by man, didn't come from man. Aaron or the high priest didn't come out there with a rock and some flint and try to put spark and try to get the fire to light. No. But actually God would light the fire of the brazen altar. He would bring the fire. And that fire would burn, and then he would offer the sacrifice. Then the fire would burn out and you'd just have the coals. Then the priest would take the coals from the fire that was lit by God, and he would put it in a censer, right? Amen. He would put it in a censer, and he would use that fire to light the seven golden candlesticks, the menorah. But where did the fire come from? It came from God. The priests weren't to manufacture the fire. It wasn't a man-made fire. It was fire. Even the coal in the censer that produced the smoke came from God. It came from the Lord. And so that priest, Brother Branham says, first the priest took the fire from the sacred altar, which was originally lighted by the fire of God. He lit, first of all, the lamp that was sitting on top of the bowl. He then lit the second lamp from the flame of the first lamp. The third lamp received its fire from the second lamp, as did the fourth receive it from the third, and so on until all the seven lamps were burning. This holy fire came from the altar, being passed from lamp to lamp to lamp. It's a type of the Holy Spirit lighting the first church age in Pentecost in the book of Acts. And then the second age received its fire from the first age. And then the third age received its fire from the second age. And on and on and on till we come to our age. You say, Brother Matt, where does our fire come from? From the first age. And where did they receive it? Jesus Christ, when he sent his spirit back into the church. So the seven golden lamps, which are the seven churches, all receive the fire from the same exact place. The original outpouring at Pentecost, which outpouring came direct from Jesus on the mercy seat. That's what the outpouring was. Is enduing his church all through the seven ages. What's it showing? It's showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. You said, blessed is he who just reads it, but more blessed to understand it. Father, we thank you for understanding today, Lord, as we went just a little bit further, Lord, in this book of Revelation. Lord, we love it. We appreciate it, Lord. We showed you our appreciation here by coming and gathering ourselves together. May you be with us, Lord, in the remainder of this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If he's in Phoenix and failed a crowd on that thing, it wouldn't be that he'd be against us, the brethren, but he'd be against the system that's drawing us away.